Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Kelly Leonard joins us now on WGN Radio. He usually comes into the studio. He did not today. We wouldn't let him in. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hey, John. No, you would not let me in.
It's funny because literally members of our on-air staff, sales staff, promotions, all of the support people here, they don't come here. There's just a handful of us that are in this building every day. You guys at Second City have developed a virtual workshop. Tell me a little bit about who benefits from this. What's going on there?
So we've turned the whole thing virtual, right? So we're doing shows online. We're doing improv classes online. And then we're doing our corporate work online. And what's interesting about that was sort of pre-pandemic, one of the core areas that we teach the various businesses that hire us is building up individual and team resilience. You know, this is an improv thing. Like when you're working without a script, you're essentially navigating uncertainty. And you develop this muscle not to work out of fear. Because what we know in our work is that fear is like the enemy of innovation. It's a thing you need to find a way to set aside when you're operating without a script or even in a crisis. So improvisers are able to turn off their fear brain and become agile in the moment, which requires a high degree of invention and creativity. And it was interesting. I got a call from a woman I knew who ran executive education at an Ivy League school, and she'd moved to do learning for a global soft drink company. And she has this workforce that is all working from home, or many of them, and she was worried about their wellness. And she literally was like, I thought you did work in resilience. Can you deliver that online? And I'm curious, John, would you think we could?
Well, I know you, so I'd say yes, but you know, my gut, my instinct is always no, because these have to be interactive and personal, and you'd just lose so much if you did it on my computer.
So we got about, I think it was about 450 of her employees, and here's what we learned about delivering these things on Zoom. So we all know this, that people can easily zone out, and like this Zoom fatigue thing, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So what we do is we recognize that this needs to be a performance. And actually, we're a performance company, right? We're a theater company. So what we started doing is we open our segments even before they start on Zoom. There's a playlist going, and it is a pandemic playlist. And believe me, the Police's Don't Stand So Close to Me is on there.
we bumped with that already here, so trust me, that's a good choice.
It's a good choice. And we actually have a musical director who scores the meeting. And I mean, after this workshop, they were like, we never thought of the idea of like, this music as a way to bump the information that you're presenting. But that was kind of a huge thing. And people need to laugh. So we're like, wait a sec. We have video of every scene that's been on the Second City stage and other stuff we show. So we actually show some funny videos that help illustrate the points. And then we figured out, okay, how do we take an exercise that we would normally do in the room and we move it into this virtual environment? And I have to give credit to Ann Libra, my wife, but also a professor and a teacher at Second City and Columbia College. And so she came up with this idea that we had the audience that virtually was there. We said, okay, get a pen and piece of paper, which they have. Write down three things you wish you could do right now, like fly to Paris, go out and eat at a restaurant, right? Go swimming in the ocean, which none of those things are possible for most of us right now. And then she says, okay, now write down the feeling that you would expect to experience if you could do one of those things. And the stuff we got back was things like being refreshed, being revived. And then our instructor said, okay, now focus on that feeling. Are there other ways you can feel refreshed or revived in the environment you're in now? And tell us what those are. And so in the chat, people are like splashing water on your face, meditating, exercising. And the idea that we're getting across is that we have a little more control over our emotional lives than we sometimes think. And this is a matter of how you frame the experience you're in. And so we got such a rich amount of responses from these, you know, employees who are feeling depressed and stuck and static and not recognizing that they do have some simple things around them that can help their emotional state as they sort of work their way through this thing.
I don't want to say that's simple because it's brilliant, but that's such a logical thing to do. What do you miss? How does it make you feel? How else can we generate that feeling? Let's do that.
Yeah.
I think that's inspiring, Kelly.
I think so, too. And I think we know this, right? It's usually the solutions are not complicated. Often the solutions are in front of us. And I actually interviewed Maria Sirois, who's a positive psychologist, and her expertise is in trauma recovery. And she has this really interesting way she looks at this, which is like, you know, we're living in this blended moment where our professional and personal worlds are colliding and intersecting. And resilience doesn't mean we feel good and strong all the time, because every single day there are two realities occurring. Things are terrible and there's things that are fine and okay. And she uses the analogy of the swamp and the pond. And basically, we tend to go to the swamp, we go to the bad things, but the pond is always there. So try to think about the things where the calming ideas, the things you're grateful for in this moment that you're living in, you can usually find them.
Are there other exercises like that? Although I think that's all I need to do. Literally, as you were saying it, I wrote, walk to the lake, go to a restaurant, and then I had relief and sated. And then I thought, well, how else can I feel some relief? And maybe that's skipping rope in the garage and getting some exercise, or sated, meaning maybe still, you know, orchestrate a nice meal with my family. Don't just eat, which actually Brenda's been doing for us, but... are there other tips like that, Kelly?
Yeah, so with going through these workshops that we offer, we also have them participate in activities. So one of the things that I know is screwing up everyone on the Zoom calls is the fact that people tend to talk over each other and they kind of don't know where to look. So we have all these tricks that we give people in terms of your background and your and you know where you're set up and that simple stuff. But we also play this exercise. We unmute a group of these people and we have an exercise where we say, okay, we're going to count to 10. We each have to do it. We're each going to say the number, but not lead you into who speaks next. So we just have to go in a row to get to 10. And then any time that two people say a number at the same time, we start over. And it's sometimes we've gotten to 5, sometimes we've gotten only to 2. But the lesson here that we're sort of teaching them is, yeah, it's hard to communicate in these situations. So now think of tricks we could do or methods we could employ so that we are not speaking on top of each other. And in the chat section, you know, the list comes in, which is like, well, I could raise my hand on the camera that I want to speak to next. Or someone else said, oh, what if after I say the number, I say the name of the person who's going to say the next number? And you start to generate this kind of really imaginative long list of things. And this, again, is a simple thing, and that's why I think it's effective in communicating, but also realizing that there's new norms. So when there are new norms, we have to change sometimes just the basic things that we're doing each day to try to make it, you know, easier for us to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish in any sort of, you know, couple hour period.
You almost need, I think, too, a moderator of even a social Zoom call, because I was on one the other day with several listeners and we were having a swell time, but there was one woman in the upper left-hand corner of my screen who I could see was leaning in and chiming in, but always getting edged out. And so I would just call on her. I would say, well, Karen, what were you going to say? What do you think? And she always had something to say. But even when you're face-to-face, some people tend to just let other people talk, and you almost want somebody to share the ball, you know?
So we actually just signed a contract for a major social media company to do just that. They want us to basically run their meeting. So we'll have a host who kind of moves the action around, make sure everyone is sort of speaking or not. We'll bring in that musical director. We'll do some little energy and bump breaks. Also, one of the things that we try to do at the beginning of these calls is a little bit of movement. So people, you know, we have people like lean into the camera, lean back and try to move around. Sometimes we do mirroring exercises. Can you look at me? Because we have these muscles, the telecommunication muscles, they're not built yet. This will get better. This will get easier the more we do it. But we have to recognize we haven't built up that muscle yet. So we try to help people recognize that and give them some skills that they can, you know, do at the beginning of their meetings.
I think that's another good point too, Kelly. You're right. It's really a new kind of communication. It's technology and it's how do we use it with each other. And the first time you tried to do the tango or the waltz, you may have stepped on people's feet. The first time you operated a cell phone or a computer, you weren't good at it. maybe we don't want to have to get good at it, but I'll bet we could get better at it. A couple more tips from Kelly Leonard as you zoom about. He's the executive vice president of Second City. He's the president of Second City Theatricals. This is WGN. WGN 1046 WGN. This is John Williams. Kelly Leonard's on a phone line. You hear his podcast and you hear him as a guest regularly on WGN Radio. His podcast is Getting to Yes and he's over at Second City, executive vice president of the Second City and the president of Second City's Theatricals. So he does corporate work. He's teaching team resilience. That's such a perfect word right now for all of us too, isn't it, Kelly? Resilience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something that we always need, and then sometimes it's hard to tap into it. And it's, you know, there's personal resilience, there's team resilience, there's business resilience. And right now, I know a lot of people are worried. I mean, you know, we've had to lay off staff, a lot of other people have had to lay off staff. But, you know, if you're going to navigate your way through this thing, you're going to have to find a way to have the strength to be creative in the moment, to try new things and to experiment. And that is, you just can't tell people to do that. You've got to give people some skills and some practices in how to do it.
You were just a moment ago talking about how to manage people talking over each other on a Zoom call socially or maybe a business conference call. You also told us about a little drill where you ask people to write down three things that they miss doing, then write next to those, how do you feel when you do them, and then finally write another way to achieve that feeling. So if walking to the lake gives you relief or makes you refreshed, how else can we refresh ourselves? Even if it's splashing a little cool water in your face once in a while, maybe that's a little bit of a coping mechanism we could just integrate into our day.
For sure. And I've got another one.
Okay.
So one of the things that we have now been incorporating in our meetings at Second City is we start every meeting with a check-in. Where's everyone at? How are you? And, you know, one of the interesting things about us all working from home, and we don't use those Zoom backgrounds for the most part, because we kind of, it's kind of intimate, and you get to learn, you know, where people are at. And we kind of like it when the pets or the kids show up and we can see them. There's a Yale professor friend of mine who every time she had a new class, she would say in the very first meeting of the class, everyone write down on a piece of a paper some hurt or pain that you're experiencing. And this is going to be anonymous, and then hand them up. And then she would read off every one of these cards. And the level of empathy that was gained inside that room when everyone had a chance to sort of hear the different things that people were going through just changed the course of how people were relating to each other and experiencing each other. And I think in these times, really good leadership is about setting that mark, about finding out how are you hurting, and know that I hear it, and know that I even see it. And then you can have a culture of caring that also leads to just overall more honesty. And I think right now, the thing that people need most in a crisis, and there's so much academic literature on this, they need transparency, they need information, they need authenticity, they need honesty, they need people telling them the truth.
Wonder how you would do that. For instance, if it was this virtual meeting where we're on our computers, I would privately maybe text or comment to the leader of the group, and then the leader would tell everybody assembled on the Zoom conference call, I know that some of you are, you know, hurting and reeling and lost a loved one or something like that. And then the group has just a little more empathy one towards the other, huh?
Yeah, and you can, and HR, you can work a lot of this through HR. I know we've done that where we wanted to get the unvarnished opinions of people who might be a bit afraid if they knew they were speaking that kind of truth to power. So they send it anonymously through HR, and they sort through it, and they can sort of read it out. But I think that kind of sharing is important. Human beings crave connection, and when we're not allowed to sort of connect with each other, we have to find these alternative ways of doing it. And it's not that, you know, the future that we're entering was always going to be this navigation between computer and human. That is what was coming. When everyone talks about AI and you know, the robot revolution, it was always going to happen. and human beings were always going to be a part of it, not taken over by it. We're just, I think, right now in this moment of like, oh, this is we've got to figure out how this relationship is going to work because it's going to happen anyway.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Kelly. You're so clever and as well as just articulate. I always like how you talk, but the things you say really get my mind reeling. And maybe we could all incorporate some of these ideas into our personal or professional lives. What's the best website for me to go? What can I do for you, sir?
Two things. SecondCity.com and everything is living there now. We've really turned from all these different divisions into being one company. But we're also starting a new thing. Every Wednesday for the month of May at 12:30, we're doing a thing called Wednesday Works Break. It's entirely free, and it's just a half hour at like lunchtime where we're going to show you a funny sketch from the stage, maybe an original sketch that we created. We're going to take you through an improv exercise. It's hosted, 30 minutes, anyone can get there, and that's on all the social media channels that Second City employs on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and everyone's invited to come join us.
What's the best handle, just Second City?
Yeah, Second City.
Okay. 12:30. Well, shoot, it's almost 11 o'clock, 90 minutes and then a little bit for that. Keep that up, and let's talk again soon, Kelly.
Okay, thanks, John.
That's Kelly Leonard.